One of humanity's deepest, most mysterious desires throughout all the generations from recorded time has been the desire, the yearning to somehow partake of eternity, to somehow taste the eternal, to somehow be able to escape the lingering fear of death and change. In ancient civilizations, there are recorded already ancient rites and rituals that were attempted to somehow allow human beings to become eternal, to be above death, all the way to stories of the elusive search for the fountain of youth, through which the state of Florida was Ponce de Leon ended up in, which is, I guess, why they made Disney World there. And all the way up to the existentialists, where you have Martin Heidegger writing at great length about what he calls authentic temporality, as opposed to inauthentic temporality, which he explains as human beings' anxious, continuous flight from facing death, which is something that's always on the horizon, that anticipation, but we always try to run away from. As opposed to authentic temporality, which is built upon a stance when one does confront and has an attitude to the fact that one knows that we are only here for a certain amount of time. And it's one of those things that we just don't like to think about so much. It's certainly a conversation stopper, and it could ruin a great party and even a great meal. However, at this time of Pesach, we have to know that one of the most important aspects of that we're celebrating in this holiday is the fact that the eternal was brought into the world and specifically into our lives. As explained in the Kabbalah and at great length in Chassidus, that if we were to say in just one sentence what the deepest meaning of the exodus from Egypt is, because everyone understands the geographical exodus was just a physical manifestation and instantiation of something much deeper, the exodus from Egypt is Gilui Shem Havaya, the revelation of the name of God, Yud-Heh and then Vav-Heh. As God already told Moses at the burning bush, if you remember in Exodus chapter 6, we actually drank the 4 cups of wine in remembrance of what God said at that burning bush when he said, I will take them out of Egypt, I will redeem them, I will take them and I will save them. God says, I will redeem them, take them out of Egypt. And then after he says those 4 expressions of redemption, God then says, V'yadatem ki ani havaya, and you will know that I am Yudke Vovke. And as Rashi points out, that even our patriarchs did not have a revelation of the 4-letter name of Yudke Vovke. The 4-letter name was revealed into the world only at the exodus from Egypt, which eventually culminated at the revelation at Sinai. So in a word, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the revelation of the infinite name of God, Yudke Vovke, into the world, which is that name of eternity, of the true eternal God. The name Yudke Vovke is that aspect of God's essence which transcends, infinitely transcends, space and time. True eternity, which, by the way, is of course why the matzahs, in order to bake matzahs properly and that they shouldn't become chametz, it's a race against time, because the whole idea of the Exodus is the revelation of God's infinite light, which is eternal and is not within time, so to speak. And therefore that means that somehow in this holiday, in this Exodus, we were given the ability to tap into eternity, to the eternal, to the always and the constant. Now, of course, the simple explanation of that is the fact that we believe that every mitzvah we ever do, every good deed we ever do, is eternal, will remain forever. Whatever we do, positive things, connecting to Hashem, every time we pray, every time we help another person, that act becomes eternal and will remain as long as God is, as we'll see when Mashiach comes. But the Lubavitch Rebbe explained that on an even deeper level, that means that somehow in our daily lives, we have to also reflect the eternal. We have to have that secret of the eternal, of eternal life, of never dying. But the question obviously is, how could we possibly do that? We are, if we'll again use Heidegger's terminology, thrown into the world, thrown in to temporality. But the answer, as the Rebbe explains, is that within our temporal, finite lives, whatever we do with absolute consistency is eternal, is a reflection of the eternal, of the tamid, of the always. And as the Rebbe points out, we see this in the Torah. The commandment to light the menorah in the temple, we're told, lahalot ner tamid, to always to light the eternal candle of the menorah. But as Rashi already says, the menorah was lit once a day, and it burned out. It only lit for a couple of hours, the menorah in the temple, and yet the Torah says it's called the ner tamid. It's constant, and that's because it's every single day. Anything you do every single day, that means you've tapped into somehow eternity. Because we all know there are so many things in life that keep us from being consistent. But we have to realize that if we're able to do something for God every single day without fail, whether it's a simple Monday, whether it's your sister's wedding day, whether it's the day that you have to file taxes, if there's something you do for God, come rain, come shine, every single day, that is being eternal. And therefore, this holiday, we have to take upon ourselves to become eternal, like the name Yudke Vavke is brought into the world. We have to realize that that means that true freedom, freedom from time, freedom from the constraints of time and space, means that there's something we do for God. Everybody according to their level, whether it's praying once a day, whether it's praying three times a day, whether it's saying Moda Ani in the morning, whether it's making to say the Shema every single day, whether it's learning every single day, some Chumash every day, that day's Chumash, whether it's saying Tehillah every day, whether it's learning a page of Gemara every day, something you need to do for God, and do even more this Pesach than you've been doing until now, that every single day, no matter what, you will not fail. That is tasting eternity. Or in the words of Robert Frost, the heart can think of no devotion greater than being shore to the ocean, holding the curve of one position, counting an endless repetition. Now, Robert Frost, of course, is talking about for somebody that you love, there could be no devotion greater than being sure to the ocean of the person that you love, being consistent and showing up for them in all circumstances. But of course, the same applies to God as well, that the heart can think of no devotion greater than being sure to the ocean of God and tasting of the eternity of this ocean of God by every single day, never failing to do some things for God every single day. That is conquering time. That is freedom from the constraints of time and space. The merit of strengthening ourselves in this, we will merit the ultimate eternal life with the coming of Mashiach.